Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Pei Hei. We're going to start from Pei Hei Amud Aleph, about 6 or 7 lines from the top. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Bernard Suss, that's Sherry Hammer's father, Olav Shalom. All the Nishamas we learn for Shevet Aliyah from our learning. So we begin with the Gemara. Rav Papa, Rav Huna Bredi of Yeshua, these two great Amorayim, went Iklo Lehinsevu. That's the Gerusa that we have. In the Hagos Habach, he brings down the proper name of this city is Leshich Nitzavu. So, in any event, this was a well-known city, which was under the supervision of Asrei, the Rav Idi Bar Ovid. It was under the supervision, he was the godl of that city, Rav Idi Bar Ovid. And Bo Minei, there were people in that city of Shechinsevu, which was under the domain of Rav Idi Bar Ovid, who asked Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, the following Shaila. The obvious question is, why didn't they ask Rav Idi Bar Ovid? So there's a couple of interesting answers that are given why they went to these visiting Talmidei Chachamim rather than go to the Rav of their town. So the Shor Mitzion Balocha, a wonderful sefer by Rav Braun Zatzal, who was a big Rav in Brooklyn 20, 30 years ago when he was Nifter. In any event, so he says that Rebbe had said nobody should live in this city because the people there were latesim. They were always making fun and mocking the Rabbanim. And if you go and live in that city, it will rub off on you. So Rav Idi Bar Ovid, who did live in the city, was the Rav there, stayed away from the people and didn't go and always listen to what they had to say in order not to have their scoffing rub off on him. So therefore he wasn't easily available to always ask these shaylos, or they weren't going to be listened to, so therefore they asked these visiting Talmidei Chachamim who weren't going to be concerned about speaking with scoffers because they would only be there for a temporary period of time. The Aruch Lener gives a slightly different teretz. He says that Rav Idi Bar Ovid had married a Bas Kohen, and therefore he was somewhat nogeya ledavar to this discussion of whether psulin occur with certain types of marriages, whether he was allowed to marry, or only Talmud Chacham would be allowed to marry a Bas Kohen. And if you would ask him these questions, he would be a nogeya ledavar. He would basically either have to say that he's a Talmud Chacham or some other explanation, and therefore they asked this specifically to Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bredi Yeshua. In any event, what did they ask? They asked them, Huzaru kisheros lihinase lipsulin olo. A woman who are in some ways restricted, in other words, the daughters of Kohanim, are they permitted to go and marry a posul or not? In other words, a chol. Can a bas kohen marry a chol? This is a question that we had addressed and raised yesterday, and it answered it, and we'll see that we'll give the same answer today. In any event, they had asked this question to Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bredi Yeshua. Rav Papa answered back to these people, Tanisua, we learned the answer to your question from the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah and Kiddushin, a very famous Mishnah, which talks about the 10 different levels of yichus that people in Klal Yisrael could have. And the Mishnah divides up these 10 classes into those that are allowed to marry within the classes and those that can't marry into the other classes. So the Asar Yilson Olami Babel, Ezra came back from Babel, he left behind the purified lineages and he brought up all the people of suspected lineage with him because this way he could watch over them and make sure that there were no problematic marriages and would spoil the purity of the lineages of the members of Klal Yisrael. So he brought with him from Babel these 10 different classes of yichus, of lineage, to Eretz Yisrael. Number one were the categories of Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. They're a separate category, as we'll see. They can intermarry with each other. No problem for a Kohen or Levi Yisrael to marry within each other. Then there were the categories of Chalolim. These were, unfortunately, women that had become posel because of an inappropriate, not allowed marriage to a Kohen. For example, a Grusha LeKohen. So she becomes a Chalol, and all of her children afterwards become either a Cholol or a Chalola. Gerim, these are converts that are not allowed to marry certain categories of people. Then you have the Charurim. These are Eved Kenani that were freed. And then you have the next categories, Umamzerim, Nisinim, Shtuki, Vasufi. The last category includes people that have a prohibition, Lovul Akal. So the Mamzerim aren't allowed to marry into the Kahal. The Nisinim, these are the people, the Givonim, that were forbidden either Midaraisa or Midirabonim, Lovul Akal. The Shtuki is the person who the mother says, shush, 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 shtok, every time the child asks, is that my father, is that my father? In other words, we know who the mother is, but we don't know who the father is, and we have to be concerned that the father was an inappropriate partner for the mother, and therefore the child might be a Sufik Mamzer. And a Sufi is a child we don't know who the mother or the father is. This is the classical child that's found on the doorsteps, bundled up in a blanket, and we don't know who the parents are, so we have to be concerned that they're a Mamzer child. So these 10 categories. So the Mishnah in Kedushin tells us the Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Mutarim, Levo, Zebazet. They can marry into each other's classes, according to Mary Levi, Yisrael, and vice versa. Levim, the Yisraelim, Chalolim, Gerim, Charurim, these categories, the Levim, the Yisraelim, the people that are Chalolim, the people that were Gerim, and the people that were freed slaves, so these are also all members of Klai Yisrael, Mutarim, Levo, Zebazet. They can get married to each other, no problems. Notice the Kohen class is not listed here. And then the final classification are the Gerei Charurei, as well as the Mamzeri Nesini, Shtuki Vasufei. They're allowed to marry within each other because the Gerei and the Charurim are Mutar Lavo Lakal, but they also can marry the people that aren't Mutar Lavo Lakal. So Mutar and Lavo Zebzeh. So these six categories of people can go and marry with each other. Now notice, the Ilu Kohanos L'cholo Loktani. Now it did not allow the Kohanim to go marry the Chalolim. Doesn't that also imply that the Bas Kohen, the Kohanos, are also not permitted to go marry a Cholo? So, isn't the answer to your question, no, they're not allowed to, the Bas Kohen is not allowed to marry a Cholo from the Mishnah and Kiddushin? So, Rav Papa answers the question, no. However, Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, his colleague, Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, says that's not a good proof. Kol Hecha Dahani Nosve Me'ani. The Mishnah is only listing where every possibility is allowed. So, it works, the husband can marry that type of a woman, or the wife can marry that type of a man. So then the Mishnah lists it when it's 100%. However, Kohen, by the Kohen, Kivan de Ilu Boyle Minsel Chalolo, the Kohen's not allowed to marry a Chalolo, Asirule, in that situation, she would not be allowed to marry him. So therefore, he doesn't mention, Lo Ktani, that the Kohanim and the Chalolim are permitted to each other. But it doesn't mean necessarily the other way around that the Bas Kohen can't go and marry a Cholol. So it only listed things that were absolutes. So basically, Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua is saying the Rapapa's answer is wrong. The Mishnah only listed where both partners can be acceptable, the man to the woman and the woman to the man. And in this situation, since it didn't work both ways, he doesn't write it. Fine. Then they went, also these two, Tamidei Chacham, Rapapa and Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, went to give kavod to the Rav of the town. That's the way the Shor HaMitzion of Halacha understands this. Now they went to the Rav of the town, they were just visiting here, and it's kavod to the people to go visit the Rav of the town and give him kavod, say Shalom Aleichem. So also coming to Ravidi Bar Avin, and Amar Lui said to them, Dadiki, you young children, in other words, he was older than them, and he called them young Tamidim. Hachim Rav Yehuda Marab, you should have just answered very simply what we learned in yesterday's shiur, that Rav Yehuda Marab said, Lo huzaru kisheros linose lipsulim. No, we already have established that there is no problem here with the Bas Kohen, these kisheros women, linose lipsulim, to go marry a cholo. It doesn't have a problem. They're allowed to do this lechachila. Then we said in the Mishnah that while the Yisurim Daraisa had a ksuba, the Yisurim Darabban and the Shneos Medivrei Sofrim lost their ksuba. Bo minei b'nei biri mirav sheshes. So the people that lived in this town called Biri, the b'nei biri, they went and answered Rav Sheshes the following shayla. Shneo lebal, velo shneo liyovim. What happens, as we pointed out, the shneos la'arayas could be only from the mother, and therefore have nothing to do with two brothers having both of them being shneos in regards to yibam. So now, shneo lebal, the woman was not permitted to marry her husband because she was one of the shneos to her husband. However, below shneo liyovim, but she wasn't the shneo to her brother-in-law. The problem potential for being a shneo was through the mother, and they had different mothers. Reuven and Shimon had different mothers, so she marries Reuven, wasn't allowed to. It was an issur derabbanan of shneos l'arayis. And then Reuven dies, and now she falls yibam to Shimon. Now, with Shimon, there was no problem. It's not a shneos to Shimon. So shneo lebal, below shneo liyovim, so does she in fact get a ksuba from the yavam? Now, what's the two sides of the coin? Kivan the yavam, since we already previously learned in the Mishnah Namasech the ksuba so al nichse bal arisha, we learned previously that she's entitled to a ksuba from the first husband. So even if Shimon were to do yibam with her, the estate that Shimon inherits from Reuven, he gets the estate entirely. So that estate is meshubit to her ksuba. The ksuba comes from the bal arishona. And therefore, in this situation, since the Bala Rishona was a forbidden relationship, it was a Shneos L'arayas, Lesla, so she doesn't have a ksuba, even if she were to undergo Yibam with Shimon. Or do we say, oh, Dilma, no. Kivam de Ilu Lesla Mi Rishon. Since, however, we did point out that if, let's say, the estate of Reuven is very, very minimal, so then she's entitled to a ksuba from Reuven, but Reuven doesn't have anything, so then Tikkinu lo rabbanu misheni. So then the rabbis arranged that the second husband should give her ksuba in order they shouldn't be able to dismiss her easily. Say, hey, you're out of here. Give her a divorce and not have to pay any ksuba. So there's no disincentive to divorce her. And he might, rachmanu l'san, divorce her. So therefore, since the rabbis do say that Shimon does have to give her ksuba if Reuven can, so maybe in this situation, Isla, then she should have a ksuba from Shimon, even though she didn't have a ksuba from Reuven. So that's what they asked for Sheshes. And Amul Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes told these Talmidim to Nisua. Again, we learned this in the following Braisa. Ksuba su'al nirse ba'al harishon. The normal situation is that the ksuba comes from the ba'al harishon, from Reuven. But, if in fact she was a shniya la'arayis to Reuven, then it says beferish in this Braisa that Shimon doesn't have to give her ksuba because Reuven didn't have to give her ksuba and he's only coming on the kayach of Reuven, so therefore there is no ksuba at all in this situation. So asked and answered by Rav Sheshes. Where it says Miklal deiko de islo miyavim, that implies that there is a situation when she does get a ksuba from the yavim. Here it says in this situation she doesn't get a ksuba from the yavim, but we just said that this, she is entitled to get a ksuba from the yavim under other situations. So what's going on over here? This seems to imply that there are situations that she gets a ksuba from the yavim, but isn't the din that the ksuba is mibala risham? So Gemara then explains what we've already discussed. So the Gemara says, chisuri me'achzor v'achitoni, that you didn't read the whole braisa, so to say. The braisa was missing critical pieces, and this is what the braisa is really saying. Under normal circumstances, when a woman is married to Reuven and was a kosher marriage, so then Reuven's estate is meshubah to her ksuba, and when Shimon does yibam, so Reuven's estate is going to be the source of the ksuba to Rachel, Reuven's widow, that's now married through yibam with Shimon. But the less lami rishon, if that estate is minimal and therefore can't pay her ksuba, takinu lami sheni. And the rabbi said, we're going to make Shimon have to pay the ksuba, because we don't want him to go and divorce her easily because there's no financial disincentive. However, the advice of Shnei Labal, but in a situation where she was prohibited via the Shnei Lorayas to go and marry Reuven, so there was no ksuba from Reuven, in this situation, afilu miyavim ela, then the rabbis were not masakin in this situation that she gets a ksuba from Shema. Now we ask another question. Rabbi Elazar, mi Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar, one of the star pupils of Rabbi Yochanan, says to his Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan, Amona lekoin gadol, or Gerusha v'chalutza lekoin hedjo. If you have these prohibited midaraisa marriages, Amona is prohibited midaraisa marry koin gadol, a Gerusha is permitted midaraisa to marry koin hedjo. And now, chalutza is only midaravonin, which we'll point out in a moment, but it's often lumped in, Gerusha v'chalutza lekoin hedjo. He asks the following shaila from Rabbi Yochanan, Yesh la mazonos, or ein la mazonos. Do they have the entitlement to be supported by their husband or not be supported by the husband? Again, this is a marriage that's not allowed. So normally in a marriage, the husband's required to support his wife. That's what it states in the ksuba. He's going to go support his wife. But here, since it's a prohibited marriage, albeit the marriage is chal, the kedushin of chal, do we give her mazonos or do we not give her mazonos? That's what Reuven asked Rabbi Yochanan. So Reuven asked, what exactly was Reuven asking? Hechidami, under what circumstances did Reuven ask Rabbi Yochanan? Ilema de Yosva to say that she's married and living with him. So the Gemara says, we're trying to break up that marriage. Ba'amod v'hotze koi. This is a prohibited marriage. There's an issa deraisa for the Amor to marry the Kohen Gadol, for the Grusha to marry the Kohen Hedjot. So we're trying to get them divorced. Mizonos isla? Would you think that the rabbis were masakin that she should have mizonos? No, we want this marriage to stop. And we want to do everything in our power to make this marriage be divorced. So if you give the woman mizonos, she's not going to have much of an incentive to go and leave him. So therefore, we certainly wouldn't be masakin mizonos in this normal situation. So that can't be the question that Reuven was asking the Rabbi Yochanan. Ella, what was he asking? Lo tzricha, he was asking, does she have mizonos in a situation, shehalachu l'medinas hayom, where the husband went off on a business trip. And normally, if he didn't leave money to support his wife, she's allowed to go and borrow money for her basic sustenance. And then when her husband returns, her husband's obligated to pay her back for what she borrowed, and she'll pay back the person that she borrowed it from. So in this situation, where the husband went off on a business trip, l'medinas hayom, the love saw the ochla, and she borrowed and ate, and therefore there's a debt now. Whose responsibility is that debt? Is it her responsibility, or is the husband with the prohibited marriage? I'm only calling God, but the grusha, the coin head joke. So does he have to pay it back or not? That was what Veloz asked for Yochanan. My, do we say mizone tanai ksuba ninhu? Do we say that the mizonos is a part of the tanai of the ksuba? since the husband is entitled to Ma'asi Yadela, so he has to go and support her. So it's Tanai Ksuba, and she does have a Ksuba, this woman. As we pointed out in the Mishnah, the Grusha, the Kohen Hedrod, or the Amonah, the Kohen Gadol, is entitled to Ksuba. So therefore, since she's entitled to Ksuba, she would be entitled over here to have him pay for Lovsa, the Achla, if he was off Mimdina Sayam. So Midi Isla Ksuba, Isla Mazoni. Or do we say no? Odeomo, maybe not. Ksuba, the Lemishkal, Umefak, Isla. The whole Ksuba itself is something that she gets when she leaves the marriage. So we want her to leave this marriage. Mizone dilmo tiakiv gabe lesla. But in this situation, the mizonus is going to keep her to stay. So therefore, maybe she doesn't get the mizonus because that's going to spur her to stay. If they take away the mizonus, it's going to spur her to leave. So therefore, maybe she's not entitled to mizonus, even in the situation of shalach u'mdino sayam, the lovsa v'ochla. So the regular ksuba she gets because we want her to leave and we want to be incentivized to go and leave, so she gets a ksuba. But the mizonos is, if anything, incentivizing her to stay, so that she doesn't get. So that's what Rav Elazar really asks of Yochanan. So only Rav Yochanan says to him, Lesla, she doesn't have mizonos, even in the situation, the love so the ochla. Gemara says, well, Tanya, we have a brisa that says the opposite, Rav Yochanan's an Amora, and we have a brisa that seems to say, Yeshla, that she does in fact get the mizonos in this situation, love so the ochla. So where it says, Kitanya hi liachamisa. No, this brisa that says Yeshla, if Yochanan would answer, is only talking about in a situation where the husband Nebuchadnezzar passed away. He was in the Medina Sayyam and he passed away. Now there's no more an incentive to use the mizonos to get a divorce. So therefore, in this situation, Lov Sovi Ochla, she would be entitled to it. So the brisa that it says Yeshla is only after Misa, and Rabbi Yochanan's din, Lesla, is before the husband passes away. That's version number one of this discussion. Is the Amar, there's another version that said, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Elazar, Tanya, Yeshla. He first quotes the brisa that says she's entitled to it. So Rabbi Yochanan seems to say that if the husband goes to Medina Sayyam, the Lov Sovi Ochla, she does get reimbursed. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar asked, but wait a second, Rabbi, but we're trying to get this marriage broken up, and this will spur them to stay married rather than be the disincentive and spur her to get divorced. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan answers, the Eloh Tanya Yeshla, but there's a Brisa, so how are you arguing with the Brisa? So again, now it's Rabbi Elazar is the one that says the difference between before his death and after his death. Kitanya Hili Achamisa. Here Rabbi Elazar is the one that says that Brisa is only talking about after death. But during the lifetime, Rabbi Elazar tells Rabbi Yochanan, during the lifetime, we want to disincentivize her to stay married, and therefore, Lov Sovi Ochlo, she wouldn't be reimbursed. Okay, two different ways to understand. The final outcome is the same between the first version and the second version. It's just a question of who asked the question, really, and who said the answer. Then the words continues. Tana Rabban, we learn the following brisa. Amar l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hedyo. These situations where there was an issa d'oraisa, at least in the amar l'kohen gadol and the grusha to the kohen hedyo, and the chalutza now is going to be discussed a little bit. Either it's thrown in because it's always thrown in grusha chalutza, it's a facil on our tongues, or is it something specific about the chalutza here that follows along with the din d'oraisa, even though it's a din d'rabbanan? In any event, as we learned in our Mishnah, the Braisa tells us, Yesh lo ksuba, the woman is entitled to a ksuba in this situation. She has the peros, mizonos, blows, in all these situations from the various types of dowry that she brought in. So she gets back the nirsi melug, the nirsi tzom barzel, and she's entitled now to the peros. She gets mizonos, and she's entitled to whatever was worn out and is still intact. So she goes and gets whatever's left from all of the things that she brought into ksuba. However, that's the, quote, positive things that she gets, v'hipsula, but she's now a halala, and v'ladapsul, and all of her children will be either a halal or a halal, depends whether they're boys or girls. The kofen oso lahotzi, and we try to end this marriage, we do everything in our power to force the kohen who married the grusha, or the kohen gadol who married the amana, to go and divorce his wife, because it's an issa marriage. On the other hand, the Braisa tells us again what we learned in Mishnah, Shnios, the Shnios Larayas, they're only Midirabbanan, Midirei Sofrim. And therefore, in this situation, the Braisa reiterates what we learned in Mishnah, Ein Lo Ksuba, she's not entitled to Ksuba, Lo Peres, Lo Mizonos, Lo Belos, she doesn't get any of the other things from the dowry of the Ksuba. Like we explained in the Mishnah, there are a number of different interpretations as to how to learn this, but let's just keep it nice and simple right now. She's not entitled to the things that she normally would be entitled to when a woman gets divorced, so she normally would get the value of the nirsi tzom barzel, and she would get whatever's left of the nirsi melug intact. She would still get that back, but here she doesn't. But the disadvantages that we just mentioned are counterbalanced by Vikshera, but she doesn't become psula l'kuhuna. She still is allowed to go and marry a Kohen. She did not become a Chalola through this Issa d'Rabbanan, and she can even marry a Kohen. Uvla de kosher, and the children that she will have from either any new husband or this husband, uvla de kshera, the children are also not also to marry kahuna, they're mutter to marry a Kohen, she has daughters. However, in this situation also, since she's doing something wrong with the rabbanon, we also try to force the husband to go and divorce his wife. Now, there's an obvious difference between the first category, where we said that she does have the ksuba entitlements, but the children are going to be halalim, and the woman herself is a halala, versus the second part, which was only the shnius larayis, where we said that she doesn't get the ksuba entitlements, but she and her children are ksherim still. So what's the understanding of this? So Rav Shimon Laza tells us, Mipnei ma amru, why did the Chazal teach us, Amonikoin gado yesh lo ksuba, why? Mipnei shu pasul v'hi psula. Both of them are, in fact, hurt by this marriage. He becomes pasul, as Rashi points out, he's not allowed to do the avoda right now. It's interesting, Rashi has a Hochi Garsinan up here, which implies that he had a different gears in the Gemara, but the editors of the Gemara, they took Rashi's gears and put it in, so there's no difference between Rashi's gears and all Gemara's gears, but clearly there was previously. And very frequently, the editors followed the Hochi Garsinan of Rashi, and that became the regular text, and we don't understand why Rashi says Hochi Garsinan. That's all Gemara, but obviously there was a different version beforehand. In any event, Rabbi Shimon Lazar understands it as follows. He says that the Amana to the Kohen Gadol, in that relationship, the Kohen Gadol also loses out. The Grusha to the Kohen Hedjot also loses out. He can't do the Avoda until, as Rashi points out, Ashidah Hanah, he has to make an Eder that I'm not going to be able to get any Hanah from this woman until I divorce her. And therefore, he won't be able to live with her in a normal marriage. And therefore, then he's allowed to go back and do the Avoda. Of course, once he divorces her, he can, because there's no permanent blemish on him. But he, his wife, she's Psula Yodah. She becomes a Chalola right away and stays a Chalola even after the divorce. So therefore, in this situation, since both the man and the woman are impacted, so then we say, the chol makom shehu pasul v'psula, in a situation where both the man and the woman have some sort of a blemish on them, and we turn to Pehei Omid Beis, kansu osok suba, the rabbis canceled him, because it must be that he was the one that was driving things. As Rashi says, kloma lo kansu ha, they didn't go and punish her, so she retains the rights to a ksuba, mishar kol anoshim, they didn't punish her more than any other women, as opposed to the case, v'hayde konsua rabban l'shnia ksuva, in that situation they did cancel the ksuva, k'desh lo tis'akiv itzlo, who? That he shouldn't stay married to it. The kivan de lo tehevi lo ksuba, minei, since if she, in the shnia slarai's case she doesn't have a ksuba, so shof galei, she's going to leave him, v'nafka. However, here, v'hocha, in the daraisa case, lo tzarech, there is no reason to say that the woman should be punished. The memelo shof galei, because the husband himself is going to want to get rid of her, he's also impacted by this marriage, so yesh k'tavidim, it's going to lead to fights. Hey, he can't go duchen anymore, he can't go do the avod anymore. So therefore, in that situation, she's also becoming puzzle through him, so in that situation, we say that the man is going to go and want his wife to get divorced, and therefore, we can't say him to spur that along. As opposed to, in the case of the shnios, nothing happened to either of them. It may shehu kosher v'kshera. Their status hasn't changed. They don't become psul, blemished in any way. And therefore, the chomokum shehu kosher v'kshera, in that situation, konsu osa l'ksuba. Then they punished her, osa, for her ksuba. In that situation, she is held accountable. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. On the other hand, Rabbi Yomer, Rabbi has a different reason. He says, the first grouping, the Amon, the Kohen Gadol, the Grusha Chalutza, the Kohen Hedyot, Halolo Divrei Torah. We'll have to explain, obviously, the Chalutza is not Divrei Torah. We'll explain that momentarily. But the first grouping is Midivrei Torah. Midivrei Torah Ein Tzrichin Chizuk. The rabbis didn't have to go and put in additional safeguards in regards to Din Daraisa. Everybody's aware of a Din Daraisa, and everybody's going to be concerned about a Din Daraisa. The rabbis don't need to give it any additional oomph. However, Ba'alolu Divrei Sofrim, the Shnios Larayas, are all Midirabbanon, and people have the attitude sometimes, it's only a Dirabbanon. And therefore, Divrei Sofrim, the Divrei Rabbanon, Tzrichim Chizuk, they have to sometimes add additional oomph, they have to add additional strength to their Gezeris, and therefore they said, no Ksuba in this situation. Now we have a third reason, or it seems like it's a third reason, we'll see in a moment, it could be understood as an explanation of Rav Shimon Elazar, or as an explanation of Rabbi. Dover Acher, what seems like this third reason is Zehu, some have it spelled as a single word, or as it's two words, Zehu Margila, Vizu, He Margila, So. in the situation where you have the kohen and the grusha, or the kohen gadol and the amana, so in those situations, it's the man who's pushing things because he is also being impacted by this. He's not allowed to do the avoda, and therefore he is the one that's pushing for this marriage to go through. As Rashi says, amana kohen gadol grusha v'chluz kohen hedjot. He's the one that's pushing things to go and get married. But in the case of the Shnia, the Kivan, the Lo, she's not in any way being impacted. In the first situation, she becomes a Chalola. But by Shnia Slarayas, she's no different before or after the wedding, if or after the marriage to the person she's prohibited to as the Shnia Larayas, and therefore she is not Mafsida in any way, and her children aren't Mafsida in any way. Therefore, she's the one, he, Margila, so. Sheisha wrote, Selinosa, Yosemin Eish, because the fourth position is a woman who wants to be married more than a man. So in this situation, the Dover Acher says, where the man is pushing things because he obviously is impacted and she's impacted, so then he's pushing things to get married, so he's the one that we give a kenas to. He has to pay the ksuba. However, when it's her doing, so to say, in the Shnei Sarais, where, hey, she's not impacted by this marriage, it doesn't make anything worse for her or for her children, so then we assume that she's the one that's pushing for the marriage, in the general rule that a woman wants to be married more than a man, and therefore she's the one that gets a kenas in that situation. Now, this Dover Acher, we're now going to reinterpret and say, Dover Acher, Mang Tanilo. Who is the author of this Dover Acher? So the Gemara is going to have two opinions, that it was either Rav Shimon Elazar or this Rabbi. The first opinion is Iko D'Amar. There's one opinion that says that this Dover Acher is really a reinterpretation of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Tanilo. He's the one that said this. Uma Tam comments, this is explaining his original reasoning a little bit more in depth. And he says as follows, Ma Tam Amru, why did Rabbi Shimon Elazar say that in the case of the Doraisas, Hu Pasul Vihipsula, in the situation where he also has a detriment, he also gets a blemish, and that he can't do the avoda, he can't duchen, etc., while he's married to her, until he's noder hanoah against her, and she is psula as well, she becomes a chalala in this situation, her children become a chalala, so in that situation, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says as follows, he says, Mimnei shehu margila, he is the one in the Doraisa situation pushing to get married, because it impacts her negatively. It also impacts him negatively. He's the one that's pushing for it. And in the case of the Shnei Slarayas, where she's not impacted at all, they both remain as unblemished as they were before this marriage. They're doing an Isser, and this is the Rabbanon, but neither of them is impacted from it from a practical point of view. Therefore, he says, in this situation, she must be the inciting one doing this, and therefore, she is the one that gets punished. So this Dover Acher is really an explanation, according to this first version, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Shita. Ikodamar, an alternative version, is that this Dover Acher is really Rabbi. Rabbi Ktanilo, Rabbi is the understanding of this Dover Acher. And while he had said originally, it's the difference between a Daraisa, a Grusha, to a Kohen Hedjot, or an Amana to a Kohen Gadol, those are the Raises, but the Chalutza was what bothered him, because that's only the Rabbanon. And therefore, this Dover Acher is to explain the Chalutza. The Chalutza Kokashle, he said, wait a second, a Chalutza is only the Rabbanon. And therefore, one should have said, if the Raises don't need Chizuk, but the Rabbanons do, that the Chalutza should need Chizuk. So therefore, Chalutza the Rabbanon, Visla Ksuba, so why does she have a Ksuba? It should be Chizuk, and should say no Ksuba. So that's why he explained the Dover Acher, and he said, Kivon, now the Gisa that we have is Kivon de Pasulah Midrabanan, since he's Pasulah Midrabanan, it's as if Zehu Margila Vizohi Margiloso. So it's in this situation where it's as if he's causing her to go and get married, because albeit it's Midrabanan, but he's the one that's causing her to have a change. So she is now a Chalola Midrabanan, and therefore, he's the one that's causing it, so to say, to happen. And in the situation where there is no change, the Shnei Slarais, she's the one that considered to be pushing it, and therefore she's the one that gets a knas. That's according to the Girsa that we have. There are at least two other Girsos over here. The Gosa Bach brings down one, which Rashi has as well, and that is, the Rebbe says over here, Hod Omer, Kivan de Pasulah Mitruma Durabonon. It's only on a Durabonon level that she's able to not eat Truma, so that's the psul that he's causing to her. Alternatively, others have the Girsa, Kivan de Pasulah Mitruma Midurabonon. Even on a Daraisa level, the Truma, that's Daraisa Truma, Midurabonon, she's not allowed to eat. In any event, all of them are basically saying ultimately the same thing, that since he is impacting her in this situation, he's going to have the knas. Where she's not being impacted, then she's mistama, the one pushing for the marriage, and therefore she's impacted. So now, we have these two understandings between Rabbi Shimon Elazar and Rabbi as to why in the Daraisa and in the Chalutza case, there is a knas on the man, and in the Rabbanin case, the shittus l'arayis, it's a knas on the woman. So Rabbi's opinion was straightforward. It's the raisa versus the Rabbanin. And Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, no, it depends who's causing, so to say, the psul. When the man is getting a psul and the woman is getting a psul, so the man is causing it, so therefore he's the one that's held accountable. When there is no psul, so then we say the woman is interested in getting married, she's the one pushing for it, and therefore she's held accountable. Is there a nafgamina? My ikka bin Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon Elazar. Is there any practical nafgamina between these two shitas? So tomorrow is going to give us five nafgaminas. The first four will find that they're not l'kuliyama, and the fifth one is l'kuliyama, so that's why the Gemara keeps on going. So Amar Rechis says the first one. Mamzeres unesina liyisrael ikka bin ayu. The difference between these two opinions, Rebbe Shimon Elazar and Rebbe, would be shown clearly in the case of a mamzeres or nesina that is forbidden to marry Yisrael, and they went, these women went and married Yisrael. So, according to the opinion of Rabbi Mandi, Amar Daraisa, so this is also Din Daraisa, and Amar Daraisa, so therefore, we would hold the man accountable. However, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Mandi Amar Bnei Shuhu Margila, it depends on who's causing, so to say, the psul over here. So, if it's the husband causing the psul, so the husband's held accountable, it's the wife that's not being impacted, so then she's mistumbled the one pushing for this marriage, and she wasn't halachically impacted by this marriage, so then she's the one that's held accountable. So, in this situation, Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar would say, that here, ha he margulale, she's not impacted at all by the fact that she's now mamzeres and nesina marrying Yisrael. It doesn't change her status. She's still a mamzeres and nesina. It doesn't make her any worse. So therefore, she's not impacted by this. She's the one that's pushing for this marriage more so than the Yisrael. And therefore, she loses a ksuba. So here we have an example of a daraisa, and yet, Rav Shimon Elazar says she would lose a ksuba. Where it says the only problem with this is that this isn't l'kuli alma. Ulu Rabbi Eliezer. As Rashi brings down, we had this previously in the Masechta, there's a machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Eliezer as to whether a mamzer can ever have a child that won't have the mamzer status. So Rabbi Tarfon's famous opinion is that if this mamzer son becomes an avid ivri and he goes and marries a shivcha kenanis, which he's allowed to, so then the children that they have would be a shivcha, and therefore would lose the mamzerah status, and then they would be freed, and they would become regular Yiddish children and lose the mamzerah status. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that. Rabbi Eliezer says, Domar, hareze evet umamzer. In this situation, when the mamzer marries a shivcha kinanis, the children are both an evet. They belong to the adon, they belong to the master of this shivcha kinanis, but they also have the status of being a mamzer. So according to this, the woman, in fact, is not gaining at all from this relationship. She remains a mamzer, and the children aren't, in fact, benefiting in this way from not becoming a mamzer. So therefore, holo miraglele v'lomidi. Therefore, she's not pushing for this in any way because it's going to impact all the future children that they're going to be mamzerim. So therefore, this would be a regular case where, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the din would be the same between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Elazar, that in this situation, the man would be held accountable and she would get a ksuba. So therefore, it's not l'kuliyama, so we try again. El Omer of Yosef, let's find a situation, an afkamina that's l'kuliyama, bein Rabbi Shimon Elazar and Rabbi. So it is as follows. El Omer of Yosef, ma'asi gerusha, mishenise, sika benayu. The difference would be if a man had divorced his wife, regularly had divorced his wife, and she went to marry somebody else. So once she marries somebody else, it's also for him to be ma'asi gerusha. So until she marries somebody else, he's allowed to be ma'asi gerusha. So here we have ma'asi gerusha, mishenise, which is an isidaraisa, but it doesn't turn the children into mamzerim. So, machzik grusha mishenises ikka b'naya. That would be the difference between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi. Man, the Amar deraisa, according to Rabbi, who says that the iser is an iser deraisa, therefore the man is concert, and iser derabanan, the woman is concert, so hanami deraisa. So this is an iser deraisa, the machzik grusha, so mishenises. So therefore, he would say this has the halacha that the woman be entitled to a ksuba. However, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, man, the Amar b'neishu margila, it depends who is causing the situation, he margulale. In this situation, this woman who is the grusha and she goes and remarries her first husband after she got married to a second husband, which is not allowed, so her status isn't changed. Beforehand, she was not allowed to marry a kohen because she's a grusha. Now she's not allowed to marry a kohen, she's still a grusha. But she doesn't become, the children don't become mamzerim. So the children aren't impacted by this. They don't become mamzerim. And likewise, the children don't become halolim from this marriage because she's not a zona. If she was a zona, then her children would be not permitted to go and marry a kohen. But in this situation, she's not considered a zona either for various technical reasons, because this wasn't always forbidden. And if it's not always forbidden, so then even though she was nival l'pasula to somebody she wasn't allowed to get married, but it wasn't a forbidden relationship from the start. She originally was allowed to be married to him, so therefore she's not considered halachli a zona, and therefore there's no impact on the children. They don't become amzerim, they don't become halalim. So therefore she's held accountable in this situation, loses a kesubah. So that's what Rabbi Yosef says is the difference in the nafkamina community between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Losser. However, the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Akiva, however, who holds the Amar Yesh Mamzer Michayv Yilavim, that this child is a Mamzer, so now she is impacted by this, so ho lo miraglele velo midi. She wouldn't be going and pushing this because it's going to impact her children. And therefore, there's no difference, according to Rabbi Akiva, between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Losser. They both would say that she would be entitled to a ksuba. So this isn't the nafkamina according to everybody. It's not the nafkamina according to Rabbi. So Gemara tries again to give a nafkamina that it's according to everybody. Elamor Rapapa. Rapapa says, Be'ula l'koin gadol l'kabanayu. If the koin gadol married a lady who wasn't the virgin, so then that would be the nafkamina between the two. Mandi Omar d'araisa. According to Rabbi, says it's in the raisa. So this is in the raisa. The koin gadol has to marry a besula. You can't marry a woman who's already had relations. Hanami d'araisa. And therefore, she would in fact be entitled to a ksuba because we lumped this in with the d'araisa, where she's entitled to a ksuba. However, according to Rishon Lazar, Mandi Omar b'nei Margila, it depends who's pushing it. So here, Ha-hi miragule. She's not impacted by this at all. She wasn't allowed to go and marry the Kohen Gadol because she was a Be'ula, but her children in this situation are not going to be Mamzerah because there was an Asay over here that the Kohen had to marry Besula Mi'amah, Bikachisha. And when he's over that, he's over an Asay. And therefore, even Rabbi Akiva, who holds that there's a Mamzer from Chayv Yilavim, doesn't hold there's a Mamzer from an Asay. So therefore, her children aren't impacted by this. It similarly doesn't make them into halalim. So therefore, there's no impact by doing this. So therefore, she says, why not? I'll get married to him. No harm done. And therefore, that would be the nafkamina, according to Rapapa, between Rabbi, who says she would be entitled to a kesuba, and Rishon Lazar says she should not be entitled to a kesuba. However, the Gemara says, again, this is not Lekuli Alma. Ula Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who holds the Yomar Yesh Halal B'chayvi, I say, no, that the children would be halalim from this situation. So then, there's no difference between Rabbi and Rishon Lazar, because she's not going to be pushing this because her children are going to be impacted. So therefore, both of them, Rabbi and Rishon Lazar, would say, according to the opinion of Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov, that she'd be entitled to a ksuba. Therefore, there's no nafkamina. The fourth attempt to make a nafkamina between Rabbi and Rishon Lazar, this Lekuli Alma, is Ella Omer Ravashi. Ravashi says, we're dealing here, Machzir Sofek Sotoso Ikabenayo. We're dealing with a woman who gave kinui and stira to his wife. He would witness, he's told her, don't closet yourself away with Reuven, and she did closet herself away with Reuven. We have witnesses that she did so. We don't have witnesses that she did the Aveira, but we have witnesses she closeted away, so now she's Mechuyeves to drink the Mei Sota. And she's also to have relations with the husband until she drinks the Mei Sota. And it's found to be Tahora, and then she go back to live with her husband. So, according to Rabbi Mandi Omer D'Araisa, so this is an Issa D'Araisa, she now have relations with her husband while she's a Sofik Sota. Ha'nami D'Araisa, therefore she would retain her Ksuba. However, Mandi Omer B'nei Shul Margila, according to Rishon Lazar, says it depends what's her status being changed or not. So in this situation, so either she has relations with her husband, she's a Sofik Sota, it doesn't impact her status or her children's status at all. They don't become Mamzerim, and they don't become Halalim from such a relationship where he had relations with his wife who was a suspected Sota. So therefore, there's no impact. Oh, then she's held accountable, she would lose a Ksuba. Oh, this is a Nafkamina. Where it says again, this is not Lekuli Alma, because Ula Rabbi Masya ben Charash, who holds the Omer Afilu Holach Balu Lashkoso Bo Ale Baderech Asa Zona. No, she now becomes a Zona according to Rabbi Masya ben Charash, and therefore there is an impact. Her children become Halalim, so therefore Halo Margalole, she's not going to do this Flomidi, and therefore there's no difference between Rabbi and Rishon Lazar in this situation, according to Rabbi Masya ben Charash. So the first four opinions weren't Lekuli Alma, and now we've finally come to an opinion that's Lekuli Alma. Eloma Marba Ravashi, Marba Ravashi says, Sota Vadai Ikabineo. This is a situation where the woman Nebuch committed adultery. So she's also to her husband. If the husband has relations with her in this situation, so this is an Issa D'Araisa. So according to Rabbi, this is an Issa D'Araisa, so she is entitled to a ksuba. But according to Rishon Lazar, the critical factor is, did she have a change in her status or not? No, she didn't have any change in her status. She Nebuch committed adultery. So she children are going to be halalim. So therefore, when she goes and has relations with her husband, they're still aser as halalim. So no change or impact occurred in her or in her children. So therefore, she's going to be the one that's pushing this. If she's the one pushing this, Rishon Lazar says, and this is Lekuli Alma, according to Rishon Lazar, she would not collect her ksuba. So here's the nafkamina, that's Lekuli Alma, between Rabbi, who says that Vaday Soto has relations with her husband, would still collect her ksuba, and Rishon Lazar, Lekuli Alma, would say, in this situation, where the Vaday Soto has relations with her ex-husband, who's still her husband right now, but is going to be her ex-husband, the woman would lose her ksuba. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, Bas Yisrael Moresis L'Kohen. We had learned a lot of this previously, but here we're just reiterating certain of these details. If a Bas Yisrael is only Moresis L'Kohen, she had the first stage of marriage to L'Kohen, so Midar Raisa, she's allowed to eat Truma, but Midar Rabban, we say she's not allowed to. Or if the woman is Moresis L'Kohen, and Nebuch, her husband, passed away, so she's going to have a child that's a Kohen, but right now the child doesn't allow it to go and eat Truma. Now, she here in this situation doesn't have any other children from him, obviously. Otherwise, she'd be able to eat the lead truma. Okay. Or, in a situation where Shomeris Yavim the Kohen, Nebuch, Reuven the Kohen, died, and his wife is Shomeris Yavim. She's waiting to be taken in Yibam by a Shimon. And in this situation, she also doesn't yet eat truma, doesn't continue with the eat truma, because she has no children from Reuven, obviously. That's why she fell to Yibam. And therefore, she is in this situation, the Yisraelis, who is waiting to undergo Yibam, so that's no different than being in Mureses, and she doesn't eat truma. And then, finally, the reverse is true. If a Bas Kohen, who's normally allowed to eat truma in her father's house, but she's married to a Yisrael, so then, lo socha b'truma. So she can't eat truma anymore, the minute she even has the first stage of marriage with the Yisrael. Now, we have another din that the Mishnah is going to tell us, which we'll see, is only according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that Maiser Rishon, is only allowed to be eaten by a Levi, also by a Kohen, but not allowed to be eaten by Yisrael. So Bas Yisrael Meoreses Levi, if a Bas Yisrael is Meoreses Levi, which according to Rabbi Meir now entitles her to eat Meiser, if it was a full-fledged marriage, she can now eat Meiser Rishon. Here, Meiser is talking about Meiser Rishon. So Bas Yisrael Meoreses Levi, or Muberes Levi, or she's pregnant from a Levi, Nebuch the Levi died or divorced her, but she has a child from this Levi, but it's not yet born. So in this situation, she also can't eat Meiser Rishon. Or Shomeres Yavim Levi, Nebuch, Reuven, her husband, who's a Levi, died, and she falls to Shimon, who's the Levi brother, and Yibam. They have no children, obviously, that's why she fell in Yibam. So she's not allowed to eat Meiser Rishon in this situation as well. And similarly, V'chein Bas Levi, who until now has been allowed to eat Meiser Rishon, if she becomes married to a Yisrael, even the first stage of marriage to a Yisrael, lo tochel b'meiser, she's no longer allowed to eat Meiser Rishon. And finally, the last part of the Mishnah is Bas Levi Mureses L'Kohen. When you have a Bas Levi who's now the first stage of marriage with a Kohen, or Muberes B'Kohen, or Nebuch the Kohen dies or divorces her, but she's pregnant from that Kohen, has obviously no other children. Either Shomeres Yavim L'Kohen, or a woman, Nebuch, her husband, Reuven the Kohen, died, and she's waiting to undergo Yibam with her brother-in-law, Shimon, who's also a Kohen. In this situation, she's not allowed to go and eat Truma. This Bas Levi cannot eat Truma yet. And likewise, Uchein Bas Kohen Levi, a Bas Kohen, when she marries a Levi, no longer can eat Truma, but one would have thought that she can eat Meiser, but she's not allowed to eat Meiser. Now, the Gemara is going to explain that she's allowed to eat Meiser, because Mimanoshach, either she's a Kohen or she's a Levi, she's allowed to eat Meiser. Even according to the opinion of Meir, even a Kohen can eat Meiser, so the Gemara is going to explain she can't go and cause somebody to give Meiser to that Levi. Because theoretically, the Meiser Rishon should be given to a Levi, so by her being married to the Levi, she's not yet able to go and cause the Meiser to be given to her on behalf of the Levi. In any event, right now we'll just explain it. The Bas Kohen, who is married only the first stage of marriage to the Levi, Chaim Bas Kohen Levi, Lo Sochal, she's not allowed to eat any more Truma, Lo Bitruma, and Lo Meiser, and can't yet eat Meiser. Again, we'll have to explain why she can't eat Meiser. It's not really talking about eating Meiser, she could eat Meiser. Okay, and again, here Meiser means Meiser Rishon. Now the Gemara says, what's the big deal, Utehei Zara, when we say over here that the Bas Yisrael, who's Mores is a Levi, so let her be, quote, not yet a Levi. But why not? So even if she's a Zara mi lo achla b'maisa. Again, we're working here, we don't know yet it's Rav Meir, but working with the assumption that everybody else holds that even a non-Levi, a, quote, Zara, is allowed to eat Meiser Rishon. So big deal. So what if she is a, quote, Zara, she's not yet considered to be the wife of the Levi, even if she was the Israeli, she's allowed to eat Meiser Rishon. So Gemara says, again, as I've already mentioned, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Hamani Rav Meir, our Mishnah is the opinion of Rav Meir, who holds Amar Meiser Rishon, also Lazarim, who says that only Levim, and as we'll see, Kohanim, are allowed to eat Meiser Rishon, but a Yisrael, according to Rav Meir, is not allowed to eat Meiser Rishon. Where do we see this? The Tanya, we turn on the Brisa, and we turn to Pei Vav Amud Aleph. Truma is only allowed to be eaten L'Kohen. This Brisa says, Meiser Rishon is only allowed to be eaten the Levi, and of course the Kohen as well, Divrei Rav Meir. And Tosus has the Girsa over here from the Rivan, who says that Rav Meir's Girsa should be over here, Meiser Rishon also Lazarim, means to a Zarim, meaning a non-Levi, non-Kohen. But the Feirish, Rav Meir holds that a Kohen can eat Meiser Rishon. In any event, we have the opinion then, the Brisa tells us Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Tosus says it shouldn't be Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He is a Kadmon, he was earlier than Rav Meir. He was Rabbi Meir's Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva's colleague, and therefore it shouldn't be Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it should just be Rabbi Elazar. And any then, this Tana says, Matir l'Kohen, says that a Kohen is also allowed to go and eat Meiser Rishon. Now that implies that Rabbi Meir says that only the Kohen can eat Meiser Rishon. Matiro, Mikal de Ikoman de Osir, is there anybody that says that a Kohen cannot eat Meiser Rishon? Are you blind that Rabbi Meir says a Kohen can't eat Meiser Rishon? So the answer is, Elo Emo knows no Afla Kohen. Rab Elazar's opinion is, or Elazar Nazariah's opinion is, that in fact, you can lechatchila go and give it to the kohen. Not only are the kohens allowed to eat it, this is based upon a knas that was instituted in the Levim, when the Levim didn't come back in the days of Ezra, so there were those that said, we're going to counsel them and make you also give the Maaser Rishon to the kohen and not have to give it to the Levi. In any event, everybody agrees that the Levi and the kohen can eat Maaser Rishon, and the question is Yisrael allowed to eat it? Rav Meir's opinion is that a Yisrael is not allowed to eat Maaser Rishon, and our Mishnah is in accord with Rav Meir. Now, we still have a number of unanswered questions about this. Yitzhak Shem will pick them up tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's share.